The fictional criminals you're about to hear have been known to commit crimes, hence them being criminals. They also, on occasion, use profanity. We're working on increasing the frequency of profanity, but until then, listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the first episode of Burning Edge Podcast. We've got a bunch of stuff recorded that happens before this episode, leading us right up to the point where we join the group out front of a fancy hotel. We'll be releasing that as some Patreon-only content, but here's a few things you may need to understand for this story to make sense. The team, until a few seconds before this episode starts, was a special security detail for Evo, assigned to a vice president who does high-level negotiations. As most things in the Shadowrun universe do, their job went sideways, and the vice president was killed in a double cross. The team is just coming to grips with their world being turned upside down. Yesterday, they had a safe place to sleep, constant income, and the backing of a AAA-rated megacorporation. Today, they have no place to sleep, no income, and their only equipment is what they brought with them on this particular job. The only good news they've received is that a former member of their team, long presumed dead, has appeared, willing to help them. The scene opens in the roundabout in front of a high-end hotel next to the now-empty valet stand. The valet and greeters that normally occupy this area have all taken cover. Disturbed, as gunfire destroyed the hotel silence, an older human male, Chuck Garrow, lies crumpled on the ground in a pool of his own blood, the inside of his head open to the elements from a point-blank gunshot wound. An Ares Roadmaster idles with its side door open, waiting. Most of the team of former security professionals stand around the corpse, deciding their next move, while the sound of knight-errant sirens approaches.
Catherine, after trying to stabilize Garrow in a fruitless endeavor, slowly stands up and just kind of looks around, shaking.
JP's going to go through Garrow's pockets.
Cassandra is also just kind of blankly staring around the interior of the vehicle and intermittently adjusting her seating position, not able to find any way to sit that's comfortable.
Micah's staring at Kat. Come on, Kat. Get in the van.
I'm sorry. I can't let you leave. And Catherine shoots out one of the tires of the Jeep.
Knight-errant sirens wailing in the distance. Kat is in absolute shock. She does not want to get into the van, knowing that she has a potential explosive situation in her head. Wheels to shoot out the tire, aims, and her gun is empty because she unloaded it at the convoy. Micah, you are going to have some fun at the expense of one of your teammates.
We're going to do some controlling of action. And Kit Kat, logic plus willpower.
You've got two net successes.
I can get her into the van and at least get the door shut and locked, and tell Deuce to go.
What do you do with the duffel bag next to Garrow?
I would probably grab it.
Okay.
As there's suddenly the other body being inserted into the vehicle and some signs of struggle, a little bit of Cassandra's training kicks back in over her shock, and she will help pin Kat inside the vehicle.
Yeah, Catherine's eyes go wide, and she just goes in willingly at Micah's command.
Kat, please don't explode.
So the sirens are relatively still far off. Knight-errant, for whatever reason, does not have a particularly good response time.
Maybe their network's all clogged up from whatever our former superior was setting up so that he could get away with this and dump it off in our laps.
It's possible that all signals in and out were jammed, and Knight-errant just found out about it about the time that Chuck Garrow's flaccid corpse hit the pavement.
How far away from the van is his body?
How close did you want it to be? You're the one that pulled up.
He accidentally ran it over.
And then backed up.
Relative to where they were standing, I would have pulled up as close to them as possible. So that way, when they realized that I was here to help, they would be able to jump in quickly and go. I would then jump out if I see that Micah was trying to persuade Kat to get in the van when she wasn't listening to my pleas for her to get in the van. I would probably get out to like try to help get her in. And then once Micah has commanded her to get in, I would already be outside of the van. So grabbing the body would be something I would do to not leave a scene for Knight Errant be able to track us.
So as far as Knight Errant is going to be concerned, when they show up, there's a blood smear on the ground.
Right.
Okay, Deuce, where are we going?
With that, Deuce will punch it once everybody is in the van. And I will head towards where I've been residing with Glendale, which is southwest of downtown Clayton.
As soon as the hold Micah has on her brakes, Catherine starts struggling against them.
No. Vehicle's in motion. Hands and arms inside. Please stay down and calm. Micah.
What do you want me to do? What? What do you... How about this? How about you just knock her out? How about that? Cat, stop squirming. Stay still, or I'm going to have Cass punch you until you go unconscious. You got it?
I can't. I'm sorry.
Cat, I don't really care if that thing explodes in your head right now.
I do. My knee's back here.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Explodes in her head? What?
Catherine's trying to get her right arm in particular free.
JB, can you help?
I try to hold her down. Am I helping?
Pin your lard hoop on that arm. I don't need that getting anywhere. I don't need it having enough motion to deploy anything. I don't remember what all she has in that.
You know what? Here, let me help. Micah's going to pull out a pair of mage cuffs and hand them back there to JB.
All right, I try to slap it on her.
How much is Kat resisting? Is this going to be an opposed roll?
Yeah, she's actively fighting.
I've basically got a knee pin on her back, which is why I do care if her cranial bomb goes off, because it's like, my knee right there.
We could do a teamwork test.
Are you kidding? I'm post-edging that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay.
So the team is able to restrain Kat.
Catherine is biting and scratching and is fighting back as she doesn't actually have claws. She has fingernails. She does have fangs, though.
Cassandra is basically trying to keep Kat face down, knee in the middle of her shoulders, and doing the best she can to keep her from getting any leverage, which is also why she's terrified of that cyber arm, because if Kat can get a couple inches up, Cassandra will lose her hold.
JP's going to sneak around kind of in back of her and try to like slap the cuffs on her wrist and then quickly like pull her weaker arm over and then slap it on the cyber arm.
Despite Kat's constant struggling, you manage to get cuffs on her. You pick her up, set her on one of the bench seats in there. Meanwhile, in the back on the rubber weather floor that they have in the back of typical delivery vans to catch dirt and whatever, Chuck Arrow is slowly bleeding even more than he was earlier. You now have a restrained kitten in the back.
Catherine stops struggling and just doesn't say anything.
Cassandra gets back onto the bench and ends up having to basically sit on one side specifically. Takes a few deep breaths, calming herself after that whole altercation. Tries to run a hand through her hair, hits an ear, frowns, shakes her head. You're sure you're not contagious? You're sure that's not how that works?
Yes.
Deuce, where are you taking us? We got to get somewhere. We got to deal with Kat. We've got to deal with the body. We've got to figure out what we're going to do dealing with Evo. So where are we going?
We're going to my place. We're almost there.
Does your place have a street doc who works with grenades?
Not specifically, no.
It's where, like anything else, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, if it's where, then, JB, you could maybe do something with it, right? You can shut down machines. This is a machine, technically.
You want me to hack into bomb in brain that has kill switch? I mean, I could. Do you want to pull over so I can walk several hundred feet away?
No, we can't stop. We can't pull over. We got to get to his place. You don't have to try here, but it'd be nice if you did. But you don't have to try here. We can wait until we get there.
I mean, you are also in van, if you're fine with risking it.
I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, she's either going to bust out of here and end up telling Eva where we are and we're going to end up with bullets in our head, or her head's going to explode and we're all going to die.
Well, when you put it like that. And then JB slips into VR. Do I need to do a matrix perception to find her? I'm not going to go for the bomb. Can I see her arm?
I feel like you've done enough matrix perception around her in your career that you probably are well aware of all of her technology.
Okay. Do I know what rating is?
I feel like that's probably safe to assume.
All right. Then I will try to hack it.
All right. So you got 3 marks.
All right. I will disable the arm. And then I will slip back out. Well, problems are solved.
Wait, already?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. What can I say?
What does Catherine feel?
So your left arm still feels completely normal. Your right arm seems to have gone completely limp, like you slept on it too long. It's got that kind of phantom tingly feeling that you get when your arm's asleep. Like, you know it's still there, it doesn't feel right.
I'm just trying to move it, and it's not responding.
And it's not responding.
Catherine's eyes go a little wide, but she doesn't say anything.
A thank you, maybe? I mean, I did just solve all our problems in a split second. I am pretty cool.
I still look like a bar girl out of some, you know, some person's dream magazine or something. Can you solve that with your hacking know-how?
Let me check. I slip back into VR. And I go check on the latest sports scores.
So, Deuce, you're going back to your place, your apartment?
Yeah.
The front door entrance beeps. It's like, sorry, you are not allowed to enter these premises with live explosives.
See, that's the thing. There's not really a door on the front door.
Oh. Is this actually a house or is it just like an open lot?
I mean, it might have been a house or a building at one point, and it may or may not be questionable whether or not inhabitants should or should not reside there.
He has been on the run for 6 months or so.
Right.
Trying to lay low. I'm sure he's picked up a few odd jobs here and there to be able to afford soy noodles or whatever.
I mean, to be fair, they're not going to look for us here. Because you shouldn't look for anyone here.
Or are they?
Well, I mean...
JB, give me a matrix perception. With 6 hits, you do notice there's several wireless signals emanating from things. You see the standard grid guide nonsense that goes on, as well as the grid guide override on the Ares Roadmaster that Deuce has borrowed from his fixer. You also do notice that there are wireless signals coming from Cat.
Do I know what the wireless signals are?
I mean, they're, you know, pretty standard kind of comlink signals that any good corporate citizen would potentially send to her corporate overlords.
Can I, like, analyze the message that's going out? Is that possible?
Would you like to try to hack her comlink?
Sure, I'll do that.
You did manage to get a mark.
Can I check to see what's being sent?
She is broadcasting her location.
As well as active image and sound links.
All right, that's not going too well.
And a repeating segment of the image and sound link of the moment of where Garrow was shot in the head.
All right. Wait, it has the image of Garrow getting shot in the head?
The short bit of Trid from that section.
Okay, can I archive that real quick?
Catherine's also saved a billion copies of it all over on her own He and I.
Yes, but I want a copy, damn it. I want to watch it. Okay, I'm going to try to hack her again. Ha-ha! All right, I'm going to go for the third one.
Kat, I'm going to buy you a better comm link next time.
All right, now that I have control over this thing, I'm going to start broadcasting that we're moving away from this place. Like, we're leaving. We're going to head north.
Is Catherine unaware?
So he managed to sleaze your comm link pretty effectively.
So she doesn't know. That's what Okay, good to know.
Meanwhile, while all this is going on, you've pulled up in front of shack? Condemned building? hole in the ground?
Mostly condemned building.
Are there a lot of other squatters staying at your fancy residence?
If I had anything to say about it, no.
So you pull up in what I guess used to be the driveway before the ravages of time have crumbled to concrete and weeds have grown through the cracks that have built up. What used to pass for walls are still somewhat there. It's clear that they used to be walls. The drywall on the inside is basically destroyed. The brick or plastercrete has mostly crumbled, leaving them basically open to the elements. The roof itself has been destroyed by hail. They put up some tarps and garbage bags and whatever to try to protect themselves from the rain and snow that happens in St. Louis. It is January after all, so it is not particularly warm, but it's also relatively far from civilization, and you kind of have a safe space to talk and maybe figure out your next actions.
So as they pull up, Deuce will get out of the van and kind of usher everyone or say, hey, we can go up to the second floor. That's kind of where I've been at. Should be pretty quiet up there. What? You guys need to tell me what's going on.
I'm turning into a bunny.
What's going on? Well, Deuce, let's see. We go in to do our job like we're supposed to do because our boss there, you know, the military Mike, sends us in. We do our job. He comes out and he seems a little disappointed. Next thing you know, he puts a bullet in the guy we're supposed to be protecting. That's what happened, Deuce. And now we're going to get blamed for this all. I don't know if you've noticed, but I got a 6-foot-tall rabbit back there. I got a cat over here that's, you know, unhinged because her boyfriend, use the term loosely, her boyfriend just got shot. And then I have JB.
Well, at least you mentioned me.
Who's still looking up sports scores, I assume.
Well, of course.
So right now, we need to see how much of the, you know, how deep are we in the dreck?
Well, it sounds like pretty deep.
Then we need to figure out how to get out of said dreck or paddle up the river. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably not a bad option.
Yes. And what are we going to do about this Cortex bomb?
I thought you took care of that.
I never said that. I said that solves the problem. She is not going to escape.
Oh, JB.
What?
All right. Let's, probably should get off the street anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Catherine is reluctantly and willingly following.
We will, go inside and we'll come up with a game plan. I know a beat cop. If I can get a burner comm, I call him, find out what they think's happening.
Deuce will reach into inner jacket pocket and pull out a Metalink and toss it to Micah. Here, this one's a burner. You can use this one.
She'll take it. Thanks, Deuce. I'm going to go make a call. And she's going to get out of the car and kind of walk a bit away. She's not going to go in the building just yet, but she's going to kind of go somewhere where it's behind something, building structure or something, off the street, basically. I'm going to call Mickey, my beat cop.
Cassandra kind of squirms around a bit more as Micah wanders off, and then she looks towards the others, and she's like, okay, this is awkward. Do any of you have a knife? Any of you at all?
I do not.
I've got a combat knife that I'll pull out of my belt.
JB, your eyes solidly the other direction. If I see you turning around, this is going in your face.
Understood. I turn around and I pull out my micro skimmer drone and I kind of place it underneath my armpit facing backwards.
You're a terrible, terrible person. Cassandra just awkwardly modifies her pants so that, you know, she can properly, comfortably wear them with her new issues.
So what does your tail look like?
It is, well, I mean, it's just flat out a rabbit tail. It is about, judging by just what it looks like, I mean, a fair amount of this is the extra fluff, but it's about 3/4 of a foot long, tufted, the same color as her hair, though with a bit of a white tip and lightened other underside. Not long, it moves about, but it's not as if it can curl around on itself.
Tell us a little bit about Mickey and how you met Mickey, since this is the first time our listeners will have met Mickey.
Mickey O'Houlihan is a beat cop in St. Louis. And when Micah was new to St. Louis, she ended up walking into a bar because she was new. She didn't know everything, the area. And it ended up being a cop bar. She's worked court jobs. She has etiquette. She knows how to handle herself, even though she realized where she was. And, you know, hanging out, she met Mickey. And Mickey is a good cop. However, he is a little okay with turning the blind eye, especially if you grease the palm. But not all the time. He's a stand-up guy still. And, you know, so Micah and him talked. They became chatty. She's kind of paid him off a couple times to look the other way on some things, especially when she, you know, indulged in some things that provide her enjoyment. And she in turn has done some favors for him.
So you dial his number.
This is Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, thank you. This is Micah. I need you to let me know what's going on, because I know what's going on.
Oh, God, that was you, wasn't it?
What?
The thing at the...
It wasn't... Mickey, wasn't me. We didn't do this, but I know there's no way I can convince anybody that that's the truth.
Seriously, that was you? The shootout? At the hotel?
I was there, yes.
All right. What do you need?
I need to know what do they know. I need to know where they're looking. I need to know what's been going out on the line. What has Evo been saying about us?
We haven't even gone to the stage where we're doing an APB yet, but they say that an Evo security detail team has gone rogue.
Okay, gone rogue. Okay. Who's the mouthpiece at Evo, given the info?
The chief of security, Rain.
Oh, Fragger, of course, that guy.
You know him?
Yeah, Mickey, I know him. He was there, too. Again, I can't prove it. So, Mickey, can you, I hate to ask, I really do, but, you know, gonna have to call in a favor. Can you do a little interference for me? Can you buy me a couple days? Can you, when that APB goes out, can you say you got a tip? Saying that you saw whatever headed toward the Cass.
You know, you did me a solid that time with that, you know, with the Janine.
Yeah. Her name was Jenny, but that's, you know, I can see why you need my help. Just run me that interference. If you could buy me some time, just say that you that we're headed to the Cass.
I will do what I can. Micah, I at least owe you that. And when I say I owe you, I mean we're basically even.
Understood. All right. And hopefully I won't have to call you back for anything. And hopefully you're going to do right by me because I'd hate to have to come find you. But you know how this works, right?
All right. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, my God. We're in so much trouble. Okay. Time to go back and lie to the team. Michael, go in and find the group, I assume, in Deuce's place, which is nice, I hope.
Hopefully you don't have too high of expectations.
I mean, Cassandra's looking at this place and wondering if this is one of those places that, as you're having your little stroll around, if maybe having the shotgun out of the duffel bag might be a good idea.
Catherine is sitting quietly, still trying to get her arm to work.
All right, guys. So I talked to my friend. He He's inside KE, and right now there's no APB out for us. So that's good, but we all know it's coming. But he's going to help us out. He's going to tell he's going to run some interference. He's going to tell him that he got a tip, anonymous, of course, that we crossed over into the CAS, going south. So a little misdirection is going to buy us a couple days. We can figure out what we're going to do and go from there. So I'm open to ideas.
Catherine doesn't say anything. She won't make eye contact with anyone either.
This is really outside my expertise. Like,
what?
Doing stuff for the corp is really easy. It's really easy just to figure out what somebody says needs doing, what things should look like, and just do that. What are we doing right now? So I don't even understand this situation, even beyond this. And she's gesturing at herself with manic gestures at this point.
All right, Cassandra, I get it. You're dealing with a lot yourself personally right now, but you do know how to deal with this stuff. We have dealt with this stuff. We have dealt with criminals. So we need to start thinking like how they think, because guess what, sweetie, right now, that's what we are.
Right. Think like criminals. Right.
JB, do you have an idea?
Yes, I say we go and shoot that motherfucker in the face. But right now, I really could use a stiff drink, because I cannot get the vision of that man's head exploding out of my head.
Deuce, you got anything in here?
Yeah, let me grab you something.
Thank you, Deuce. Deuce, do you know people that can help?
This problem is maybe a little bit bigger than what they're prepared to handle. It's one thing when one person gets burned by a corp, but a whole team?
No, you're right. All right. Let's get JB's drink. I'll have to think on this.
He finds a plastic bottle of some kind of rot gut whiskey.
To be fair, I'm only a street level lifestyle, not squatter.
Which is why you're able to afford something in a plastic bottle rather than like, oh, here's an empty beer bottle that has a few drops in it.
A little shake and try this.
You're like finding discarded cigarettes that have like another two drags on them and relighting them. Yeah.
Right. Not that bad.
That is a dark image.
I mean, you survive, you know, on the streets.
Welcome to the shadows.
Micah is voiced by Jupiter Sanders.
Hello, I'm Cassandra Miller, and I'm played by Quar.
The character Deuce is voiced by Jake.
Jean-Baptiste, voiced by Jeff Elaine.
I am Tempest Error, and I play Catherine.
The Topps Company, Incorporated has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sounds, audio, video, and or any proprietary material used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Incorporated has granted permission to Burning Edge to use such names, logos, artworks, marks, and or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website and podcast, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Burning Edge in any official capacity whatsoever.
Ah, just get on with it, will ye?
Okay, so we've got a leprechaun. Cool.
Now I want Lucky Charms.
Always after me, Lucky Charms.
Yeah, for when someone with Cortex Bomb decides to shoot at your tires.
Right.
Tuesdays, you know?
So Micah is trying to advance the plot by calling a contact.
Why would we want to do
that? I love that. Advance the plot. I've been accused of many things.
Have you ever tried to throw a cat into a tub?
No, I was never a monster to my cats.
All right, look.
Have you ever, like, rubber banded a cat's front and back paws together?
I'm not a monster.
Good, me neither.
Would you like to make a shooting roll to see if you hit the tire?
Sure.
Because you could just scratch the paint and have Deuce have to explain to his fixer why there's a bullet hole in the side of his van. A new one.
Honestly, anyone who fixed Deuce, I don't think they would be that, like...
Right, they're not going to be surprised that it comes back with bullet
holes.
No, it was like that when I got it. Yeah. Are you just being contrarian now?
Yeah. Well, I learned from the best.
I did not teach you that.
She said the best.
Uh.